talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul on BlakeRadio.com.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
You're listening to Rainbow Soul on BlakeRadio.com.
Human being locates where there's so much information to take, then you enter an entirely new place. Once you get on the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanley, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
This song deals with freedom as it's supposed to be. Just want just a minute of your time to listen to one thing I have to say.
Everything you wanna be, you can see anything and everything you wanna see. You can go anywhere and everywhere you wanna go. You can know anything and everything you wanna know.
Maybe. my name is Renoka Rashidi. I'm an avid fan of and a big supporter of Brother Junior Stanton.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. I'm your host and facilitator, and we welcome you and thank you for carrying us with you on your iPhone, your smartphone, your iPad, your tablets, your notebooks, your laptop, as well as your desktop. And we thank you because we know you will get the most of your Rainbow Soul cyberspace experience because you're not tied down to your desktop as in the old days. We started off the program with a message in the music, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, to be free to be who you are. And that is our mantra, be your authentic self. Be the emanation, be the expression of the Creator as you, that unique personality, energetic being, that there is no one else like you in the world. As we move into the program, we want you to stay tuned. We have an exciting guest, Jake Prescott, a young entrepreneur, software designer, engineer, and he'll talk to us about his applications, his apps that he's designing for iPhones and Androids following these messages. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, right here on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
If you are enjoying the programming here on the Blake Radio Network, please log into our website at www.blakeradio.com. Then click on Rainbow Soul and sign up to help keep this venue alive for only 19 cents a day. In order for us to keep bringing you this radio station, we need your support. So log into blakeradio.com, then click on Rainbow Soul and sign up for only 19 cents a day to help keep this radio station on the air. Rainbow Soul. Talk radio at its best.
Junius Ricardo Stanton here with some truly great news. The Blake Radio Network has officially released the new Rainbow Soul iPhone and Android apps worldwide. Now there is also an HTML version for all other cell phones. The apps can be accessed from www.blakeradio.com on the Rainbow Soul page or directly from the iPhone App Store or Android Market. These apps will allow you to lock in exclusively to the Rainbow Soul broadcast with the touch of a button. These acquisitions complete the development and release of all the apps for the Blake Radio Network family of channels, which includes Rainbow Soul, the Alt Talk channel, and Music Massage, an eclectic mix of R&B, jazz, soul, and reggae slow jams for your listening edification and entertainment. So take full advantage of this opportunity for connectivity and mobility by downloading your respective app from your source. Continue listening to the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul and Music Massage. You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. Stay tuned.
Our guest is Jake Prescott, who's a software engineer, an entrepreneur, and we're pleased to have him on our program. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, actually, I work for IBM. I work for Kinexus. It's a division of IBM. I'm a release engineer. A release engineer is basically we build and deploy software.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is once a client reports an issue to us, we actually, the development team actually fixes the program, mm-hmm. and then I actually deploy it to the servers so that the clients can see it. So that's what my job is actually deploying software.
Mm-hmm. Are you involved in the actual development of the software specifically for your client?
No, I'm not involved directly in the development. I'm just involved in packaging the software so that it can be moved to the environment, the production environment.
Mm-hmm. Why'd you get into computer science?
Well, what actually happened was I'm very creative and I like to draw and everything like that. So what happened first was I wanted to be a computer animator.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, I don't know if I can do that. And I shifted over to just focusing on technology. I've always been kind of good at working on toys and putting things together and everything like that. And that created, you know, where I always tried to work smarter, not hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned scripting, and that's one of the lower level programming languages. And what happened with that was I've always kind of used that to work smarter, not harder. So I really don't program at my job. I don't really program at my job. I just build and deploy software. I just use my programming skills to help my job.
Mm-hmm. But that was your major in college, right?
Yes.
So what you wanted to be to work on computer-assisted drawing, animation,
yes,
and film and things like that?
Yeah, really I wanted to just focus on programming.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened was I saw how hard programming was, and it kind of made me nervous. So I transitioned into a support role. And in that support role, I could use a little bit of my programming skills and a little bit of my personable skills to help my clients and help everyone that's
mm-hmm.
in my team. So that's what I did at GMHC, my former job.
Well, how did you move from that to developing applications?
Well, I've always been an idea person. So what happened was I came up with an idea, voice to text. And that nobody handed out, you know. It was the first, you know, iPhone, everybody could create applications for it. And I was like, all right, I got $1 million idea. So what I did was I contacted a contracting company. And I said, okay, look, I'll give you $5,000 to create my application for it. And they said, okay, give us $1,400 as a down payment, and then we'll develop your application for you.
How'd you find out?
I went to a website called guru.com, and that website allows you to search for anything you can think of where people are doing odd jobs or anything like that. So that's where I found that website. And they allow you to do software development, animation, anything like that. Anything that you can define as a project.
Mm.
And that was my project, develop this iPhone application. And what happened was they said $1,400 down payment. And they actually said, okay, we'll work on it. And when they worked on it, they sent me a 10-page proposal.
Mm.
And they said, it cannot be done. But they kept my damn payment.
Well, they kept you, huh?
No.
But I mean, did they kept your ideas? You protected yourself? Did they try to steal your idea?
Well, it wasn't feasible at that given time.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I thought of it, I thought it could happen, even though I know programming, but I thought it could happen, but the limitations of the iPhone didn't allow at that time.
At that point. Right.
At that point mm-hmm. in time to do that. So they took my $1,400 and, you know, that created the fire in me to learn how to program. So that's when I said I can do this myself.
Mm-hmm.
I started creating my own iPhone applications. It took me about 3 months. You know, I taught the language to myself. I taught everything. I did all the graphics. I did everything for it. And I came out with my own iPhone application.
Right now, did you register your idea? Is it trademark, patented?
Well, it's kind of different with iPhone. It's not with programming, it's a little bit different because anybody can kind of come up with a similar program. The only thing that you have that you can kind of control is the name.
Mm-hmm.
So voice to text, I didn't copyright it or anything like that. So I don't think anybody has that name now, but that was my initial idea. I just voice the domain name, voice to text, and that was kind of it at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you move forward, did you seek business counsel, legal counsel?
No, I took it and I created a fire. I just took it and made me learn how to do it
mm-hmm.
myself and just do everything myself. I said, no one's going to stop my idea anymore. If I can find a way to do it myself, I'm going to do it myself.
All right, so you created the application.
Yep.
Then what'd you do?
Well,
the next step?
It took me a while to get everything configured and everything like that. And I submitted it to the App Store. And, you know, I got a couple of downloads here and there. And, you know, I wasn't getting the response I was thinking. So I created another one.
So this was like 2.0 to that one?
Well, I actually upgraded it a couple of times, but I knew that it wasn't the right idea. What I did was favorite context. It's called save text. And, you know, an idea. Basically, you can have your favorite context.
Like all the people that you
exactly
access on a regular basis, frequent basis.
Yeah. So basically, it would be a list of your favorite phone calls, your favorite text message, or favorite location. I thought it was a pretty good idea. I think the name kind of messed me up. But anytime you would tap one of it's like say their favorite location, you tap your friend's location, it would show you where they're located, and then you could tap again, and then it would show you from your current location
how to get to
that person. So I thought it was a pretty good idea, but it didn't get the buzz that I was thinking it would get. And, you know, I came out with another application, and then I came out with another one.
So do you? So doing this, you have no interface with the iPhone people at all?
Well, I would actually have to submit it to the Apple Store.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole process where I had to create a certificate. I had to buy a Macintosh computer.
Right.
I had to do all of that and, you know, teach myself the language. And then once I did that, I had to, you know, do a lot of research online. I actually had to pay $100 to actually be able to submit my app to the App Store.
Mm-hmm.
And once that was done, you know, Apple allowed me to post it on their store.
Okay, but so is there, what's the compensation or residual arrangement?
Well,
is it strictly yours 100% or you have to share with Apple or what?
Well, Apple gets 30% of any
profit.
Mm-hmm. So they get 30% of profit, and then basically my app was 99 cents, so I would get 70 cents from it. And then every time someone bought it, you know, I get 70 and they get 30.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I broke down. I just deposited it directly into my bank account.
Now, do they help you market your apps?
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's all up to me at that point. And at that point in time, Apple was, it was still growing, but apps weren't popping like games were really popular.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't develop a game. I didn't know how to do a game. So I developed an app and, you know, it didn't get the traction that I was thinking. So that's where, you know, my first app kind of doing something on the And then my next app was TapTunes. And TapTunes is basically a music-based gesture, kind of play music with your gestures. So if you wanted to play the next song, you tap once. If you wanted to play the previous song, you tap twice. So I was thinking like, all right, okay, you're driving and you don't want to look down at your phone, you tap once and go to the next phone, tap twice, you go back.
So you have to, they have to download a playlist?
Yeah, they actually have all of the music already on their phone, where I would tap into it, and that's how that application works.
Okay.
So with that application, I made like, you know, $200, $300 from it.
Mm. So how many apps do you have out now?
Let's
Okay. Now, do you have, so you went through all the process to incorporate, to become a company and everything?
Well, from the beginning, what happened was I was just me. I created the application. You could do everything through your name.
Mm-hmm.
So Apple wasn't really concerned about doing a company. They would just pay you based on whatever you made.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to file taxes based on that or whatever the case would be.
But
Over last year, I decided to incorporate and create my own company. And, you know, I have two partners that I'm working with. And one is he's an Android developer.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, and another friend is a QA analyst for mobile applications.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the perfect storm, where I have everything that I need to create a new company.
Mm-hmm. So, have any of the trade companies said anything to you, like some of the websites that specialize in download games, apps, or have they?
Yeah, a couple of people have contacted me directly, and you know, hey, we can market your app and it'll blow up and all of this stuff. But I think the main thing is, you know, you have to come up with the right idea, you have to have the right name, and then You have to have the right, I don't know, Apple was very design-oriented, where very focused on graphics and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing.
You so have they submitted a standard protocol to you in terms of all what the minimum standards, the type of graphics and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun dealing with that. Basically, I had to download Adobe Photoshop, you know, 56 by 56 pixel image. It had to be the 80 DPI. It had to be
Okay, so everything was specified.
Exactly. Right. So I had to break it down to that level. And, you know, I knew about graphics, but I was never really into the computer side of it. Mm-hmm. I was good art. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn that part, too.
How difficult was it to transpose your skills as a freehand artist into computer design and graphics?
It's very difficult. What happened was I've been in a situation where I'm still learning attachments. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, basically we're working with a designer right now. I drew everything, I sketched everything out, and then I'm asking the person to create it for me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, because I have the concept. This is what I want you to do, but I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I want someone else to do it that's, you know, been trained for. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have somebody who has connections with Google, with Android.
Mm-hmm.
So are you moving into that direction to have products for Android?
Yes. My other partner is actually working on the game that I've already developed, Wordfall. He's actually working on the Android version of the application.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm a little bit, I'm better at my iPhone development because I've been through five applications. Mm-hmm. So he's still in the process of getting his application working.
Now, so what's this arrangement with Google, with Android? Do you have a relationship with them at all, or this is still
it's
in development?
It's similar to the Apple relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, you get your developer license, you download the SDK, you know. I'm not totally sure if it's a fee associated with it, but I assume there is. And then, you know, once you develop the application, you submit it to their store, and then it's available for people to download.
Do they promote you at all?
Well, it's funny because the Apple framework, in terms of Google, Apple, all of those people, what they want you to do is get involved in your ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
So when you develop an application that can work on the phone, the TV, the computer, they promote you.
Mm-hmm.
They have a separate section associated with those applications that work in those multiple
devices. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only promotion that they really do outside of, you know, unless you have 20 million downloads or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's usually how that works. If I develop an application that you can use on your phone, that also links with your TV, that's two purchases that someone has to buy.
Right.
So that's how they kind of work.
So now you have to figure out how to do notebooks, TVs, phones. Now what about the other, because my understanding is like Samsung is now in there and they're battling with Apple or stuff, so have you looked into that?
Well, Samsung is actually using Android.
Oh, okay.
The Android OS. So they're still on the baseline of using Android.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because I just read an article, Google is getting kind of nervous about Samsung because they might create their own OS because they have so many devices out in the network.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I just read an article about. So it would be, and it's funny because Ubuntu, another OS, is coming out with a phone, and then I think it's two other companies that are coming out with phone OSs.
Working with them? Are you trying to get entree with them so that you can be on the ground floor? So you have their specs and they could like include some of your things in their rollout product?
Well, I thought about it with Windows, because
Windows,
I read that Windows was searching for developers, but I read another article that user acceptance is greater with iOS. Even though Android has more devices, people are easier to download with the iPhone, the iOS, because it's so simple to use, and that's why I gravitated to Apple.
Mm-hmm. Well, is it because of their marketing? Because people tend to think that the iPhone is more advanced. I mean, that's the whole key with the Samsung Galaxy, the way they're marketing, making fun of the iPhone.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, because I think with Steve Jobs passing away, mm-hmm. they lost kind of their innovative spec.
Okay, so they didn't have like a cutting edge kind of cadre of guys working.
Well, it was really Steve Jobs, and he's really, because I read his book, and he's always been kind of out there, mm-hmm. you know. One of the famous quotes that I read from him that he always appreciated was Henry Ford said that if I would ask customers what they wanted before the car, they would have said a faster horse,
mm-hmm.
not a car.
Mm-hmm.
So the way Steve Jobs mm-hmm. saw, mm-hmm. where he was trying to teach people what they wanted before they even wanted it.
Right.
So I think with Apple not having that person in place, that's why Samsung is tripping up.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So what does this bode, how does this bode for you and your company? Do you have capital investors interest? Have you been able to get people to invest?
Well, you know, it's really me and my partner mm-hmm. Working it, and you know, we all have jobs and we've all invested in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically what we've been doing, and you know, the skill is with us.
Right, but I'm just saying, are you looking toward venture capitalists to infuse some money so you can expand your development?
Well, you know, I'm a big thinker, so I think big. So in terms of someone actually wanting to purchase or buy a percentage of my company, it would have to be a pretty substantial amount of money. At this point, my applications that I've already set up and everything, the potential that this company
mm-hmm.
has. So I really think this company will be something big.
Mm-hmm. What about expansion? You know, so your initial goal is to get it up and running, to get the name out there. Mm-hmm. What's your intermediate goal?
Well, in terms of my intermediate goals, the first goal was getting the application out there, of course. But the intermediate goal, I basically wanted to create a renewable money, where money's flowing mm-hmm. consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you're aware about the iPhone in-app purchases. So I want people to constantly be buying, even though they have my application, I want people to constantly buy little coins or anything in my application. So that's why I'm creating so many like modes and everything like that
mm-hmm.
to keep the constant purchase, because that's where I don't know if you Words with Friends. That's one of the very popular iPhone applications out there, and it's off of one single purchase. I don't want people to just buy my one time.
So you're talking about a multiplier effect.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, so how much time will it be before you're able to bring on some other developers? In other words, people start to see what you're doing and they believe in what you're doing, but because you're the visionary, you're doing pretty much everything yourself. So at what point will you be able to go and get some hotshot developers to come on board, you know?
Well, I think I'm figuring by the end of this year, I'm going to be looking for, because I have about 7 other applications or apps that I want to work on. So I'm going to be looking for people soon. You know, I want to create something that's movable, constantly building, because it can be just one app, but I can see a greater business. And I want to create a substantial business, not just a one app, boom.
Do you envision yourself moving into video games, computer games?
Well, I think the market is mobile.
Mm-hmm.
the market is with mobile devices, people on the move, the tablets, everything is focused on mobile and
connectivity and mobility.
Exactly, and I gravitate to that because I'm a technology guy, and I see how many people are gravitating to it because of the mobility and everything.
How can people see your, you have a web presence?
Yes, I have my website, justmobileprograms.net. Mm-hmm. That's the, my company name is Just Mobile Programs. So that's where you can see my top app and another app that I've developed called Caption. So that's where you
now,
can see.
Will you post upcoming, you know, notices and give, put out little teasers about upcoming apps so people can be aware of what you're doing?
Well, we have a Twitter ID. Mm-hmm. Our Twitter ID, you know, they can follow us on Twitter at Just Mobile Programs, and they can see we post, we'll start posting, you know, updates and everything, anything that we think that our user base will be interested in. Mm-hmm. And we also have a Facebook page, so we're all in all the social networks currently.
Have you done any demographic research on the people who are downloading so you get a profile of them so you know who's using it?
Well, at this point, Tattoos is my most popular app.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically centered around 30 to 18 guys that are basically downloading my app. Because one of the cool things about Tattoos is, say you're listening to a song, and then you want to tell your friends that you're listening to it, you tap the song title, and then it'll post to Facebook or Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that keeps it interactive. Mm-hmm. You know, your friends can comment on what you're listening
now,
to.
Now, do you have a situation where you can get feedback from the users?
Yes. On all my applications, there's a test, contact us, where they can actually click in. You know, if they have any questions or concerns, they can contact me. Or contact my company and say, well, get back to them.
Yeah, have you ever gotten any suggestions from young guys like you? Hey, you know. Yeah.
Well, actually, I got a suggestion from the person that, my sound engineer that actually created the sound effect for Waterfall. He said, you should make the sound a little bit different, or you should make it, the button fade every time you tap it, because you want the user to know that you tap the button. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I forgot about it. Let me put that in the code.
Oh,
so that's one of the suggestions, and I have other people that suggest things. So I like that response, because, you know, and then I rolled that out this actually today, and now you can see that, you know, I was listening to a response.
What about quality control? Once you've programmed it, and once you put it together and you had your people look at it, what do you do in terms of the step prior to you rolling it out?
Well, what happens is, well, basically because of one of my partners, his job at IBM or Conexa is a QA analyst for mobile applications. Mm-hmm. He tests, I think we went through 56 builds of my application. So 56 times that I've sent it to him, that's everything in the application, and then tell me what's wrong. And I reprogrammed. We went through that 56 times. And then also we go through a final build stage where I say, I'm cleaning all the test stuff out. You test it for 2 days. Tell me anything that you find wrong, and then I finally roll it out.
So you never put out a beta version and people download it and use it and then get feedback from that?
Well, it's interesting because I read this book called The Lean Startup, and that's basically focused on creating an MVP. And the MVP would be a minimum value product.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sell, this is my unique value proposition. This is basically why you should buy or download my app.
Mm-hmm.
So I created an MVP, and that would be like a baseline just to say, hey, see what you like, what you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that the book taught me. So I did come out with that, but also it was tested to see any glaring bugs or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Things don't work or anything like that.
What about reviews? Have you shifted to like the magazines that do reviews for programs or games, things like that?
Well, actually, that's what we're in the process of doing now. We just released our final version of Borderfall. And we're shipping out press releases to multiple companies saying, hey, what do you think of this game? This is what it's about. This is what it can do. And we're just waiting on responses back now.
How can people contact you other than the Twitter and the Facebook page? That email?
Yeah, you can email me at jakempresscott@justmobileprograms.net or support@justmobileprograms.net. I kind of manage both of those accounts.
What about phone?
Contact me on my cell phone, which is 215-313-0405.
Long term. What are your long-term aspirations and goals?
Well, one of my main things about developing this application and creating my own company was to inspire the youth. Mm-hmm. I've always been kind of gravitated to computers and technology, and I feel like everyone has an idea. Everybody has something that they want to do or anything. So what I want to do is I want to start creating like community centers where we're just focused on your idea. Mm-hmm. Or you want to build that game, let's sit down, talk, let's see if we can make that happen. Mm-hmm. That's one of my biggest aspirations because I feel like my teachers instilled in me that you can kind of create it. So why not try to help someone else along? Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have a brick and mortar building, lab, studio, or is it mostly just virtual?
Everything's virtual at this point. Yeah. I would say
is that the way most people are going nowadays?
Yeah, well, basically, at this point in time, there's really no reason to have a brick and mortar
for
technology companies. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting, though. I just read in Yahoo's about Yahoo News, and the CEO of Yahoo actually said that she wants no one to work from home anymore. Because of the collaboration that can be involved in, you know, the general
face-to-face. Yeah,
But with my company and what I do with this mobile program, it's all, we have our meetings, we have lunch meetings and everything like that, but generally, we're on email, we use Dropbox to actually drop our, you know, like the newest build of the application, and I'll send it over, and that's how we communicate.
What is it that you would want young people, a young entrepreneur like yourself, a young graphic designer, a young computer programmer, young person just thinking about, what do I want to do with my life? I feel I have this talent or that talent. What would you say to them about pursuing their dream?
You can do it. You just have to focus on doing it. The only thing that's stopping you is it's nothing stopping you but your will that you want it to be done. So, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, all of those people, Steve Jobs, they just had the will to say, I want it better than the failure. So, that's the way I look at things, and that's why I'm at this point in time in my life.
Now, you just mentioned the word failure. Mm-hmm. Most successful people admit that's just a transition stage. It got them from one point to another. Edison had like 1,000 failures before they came up with the wire for the filament. And you mentioned you did 50 some tests. So what's your take on failure?
Well, I think it was funny because when I was first working on the application, I was like, all right. Then one of my coworkers said, okay, we need to add 10. I'm like, all right, let's figure out how we can add 10. And I worked for, I think, 8 hours straight making a button from left to right, over and over, failing over and over. But I wouldn't stop until I got the button working. It was just one simple button, but that could mean everything to a user. So why not focus on that one button? Why not focus on writing that one sentence correctly? Why not focus on shooting that jump shot correctly? Why not focus on that specific test? Because that can mean everything going forward.
How much pressure are you under with the technology, with the sound, with the graphics to get it right? Because the big boys are putting so much into it And in order to be on their level, you have to have the same type, because people are very, you know, once it's almost like being a filmmaker where they're spending millions of dollars on a special effect. Well, a lot of black filmmakers, independent filmmakers, don't have that kind of money. So they have to focus on something else, not so much the special effects. They got to focus on the story and you know, doing something else. So getting back to, do you feel any pressure to be like state-of-the-art graphics, sound, and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I want to be. Mm-hmm. You know, and it doesn't mean I had to start that way. Mm-hmm. So the way I look at it is, the first half wasn't the best. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean I'm going to stop. The second half...
Did you revise? You know, did you do a 2.5 one?
Maybe. I can't tell you how many times I've done it. But I feel like, you know, you go through life and you're going to, it's not going to be perfect every time, but you got to keep on trying. So right now, Word of Fall looks good to me. And it might look horrible to someone else. Tell me. And I'll try my best to change it. I'll try my best to make it the way you want it. But you have to keep on trying. Don't give up on whatever you want. Les Brown has this quote. He says, become an active force in your own life. And that's what I am. I want to control what's going on in my life. And I'm going to control my applications, and I'm going to try to make them the best they can be.
Okay. Well, we're going to keep our eyes on you. We'll come back and do a follow-up, you know, when you make the, you know, the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and stuff. So give us your URL again, your Twitter tag, and your Facebook, and your email.
Okay. URL or my website is www.gizmobileprograms.net. You can find me also on Twitter at gizmobileprograms. You can also find me on Facebook, Gizmobile Programs again. And my phone number is 215-313-0405. And you can also contact me via email, jakempresscott@gizmobileprograms.net.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job.
Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me and financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com, or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link, type in rainbowsoul@blakeradio.com as the email address, and Unlimited Ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's IRELEND Place, Suite 109, Amityville, AMITYVILLE, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support.
And that's the fact.
Coming out of the break, we heard Nina Simone, To Be Young, Gifted, and Black, and that applies to Jacob Prescott, and that's dedicated to him, because as you heard, he's a very dynamic young man, very confident, very astute, and focused, and this is what we need to see and hear and be exposed to, because unfortunately, the corporatist media would have us believe that our young people are frivolous, irresponsible, that they're criminals, that they're degenerates, they're sociopaths. And this is deliberate, because it creates a worldview or quote-unquote reality that allows them to do what they do, and which allows them to criminalize us psychologically, which sets the stage for an ever burgeoning prison industrial complex and an ever lopsided so called justice system. And if you study history, you see that this is not new, this is not unique to the United States. The British did it in order to criminalize the poor. And as a result, they were able to make being poor and being a vagrant or homeless a crime, or being in debt a crime. And then they worked with the trading companies, which were the precursors of the giant corporations of today, to empty the prisons and force those prisoners to become tools of the trading companies in their colonies. This is what happened. I mean, you had whole colonies that were pretty much prisoners. Not all of them were criminals or sociopaths. A lot of them were just debtors. But the ruling elites, in conjunction with the monarchs and the system and the trading companies, manipulated that situation so that they could have cannon fodder for their expansion. The colony of Australia was nothing more than criminals, and that's how they behaved once they got there. And they continued the European cultural dynamism of bringing their brutality and barbarism and murderous and exploitative relationships with the indigenous people everywhere they went, everywhere they've gone on this planet, except for Antarctica, and that's because there are no human beings living there. They brought that same sense of entitlement, the same psychopathy, where they have no remorse for what they've done and what they're doing. And so this connects back to what I was talking about the media and how they project us and try to create the reality when it is really an illusion that we are less than, that we are criminals, that we are unintelligent and that we have no real purpose or use. When you have someone like Jacob Prescott, who proves that this is not true, and there are many, many young people. I deal with young people all the time. I mean, I dealt with them for 30-some years as a coach, as a probation officer, as a mentor, and quite naturally, in my role as a probation officer, a lot of them were caught up in the system, a lot of them were in the wrong place at the wrong time, doing the wrong thing, using poor judgment. There was a small percentage that were sociopaths, but by and large, a lot of them were the victims of their own misjudgment and or the system. And I see young people all the time in my role as the president of the Cheney University National Alumni Association, because I'm in constant contact with the campus and some of the students, and they are, by and large, not, they're the antithesis of what's presented in the media. A lot of them just need guidance and direction and support. And so a program like this, where we have a young person, I neglected to ask him how old he was. I guess he's in his late 20s now, or maybe early 30s. But just to listen to him and to see him navigate the system, to learn new skills, new capacities to pursue his goal is very encouraging, very enlightening. And it's not just relegated to young people. That's the message that I want to share at this particular time. It's not just for a young person like Jake Prescott. It's for us older people, because life is purposeful. We're much more energetic, much more enthusiastic, much more energized if we have a purpose and something to live for that is conducive to our passions. And that's important when we're navigating the world. Now, a lot of us get caught up in making a living instead of making a life, planning for our lives, looking at what is important, making that a priority, listening to our inner self instead of being so out of directed and so conformist that we forget that we're unique creations, emanations, and expressions of the Creator, that there's no one else like us on the planet. Just like even identical twins or triplets or multiple birth siblings don't have the same fingerprints, and they all have different personalities. Each one of us is unique. We're here for a reason. We're here to enhance the collective. And if we don't do it, the greater collective is the poor. It is deprived of our genius. It is deprived of our life force moving for the greater good. Unfortunately, we bought into much of Western values, which say success at all costs, the ruthlessness of, say, the corporations, where as long as they make a profit for the shareholders, everything is okay. So they can pollute the environment, they can dump toxic waste throughout the planet, they can engage in anti-life and attack the natural order as long as it turns a profit. Well, that has consequences. And unfortunately, the West eschews an understanding and a belief in karma. the law of cause and effect, sowing and reaping. And part of it is because of their left brain orientation. Another part of it is they're just greedy, and they're led by sociopaths and psychopaths. But the good news is that there is a rising consciousness. We talked about programs in the previous programs about the Mayan prophecy and how it is talking about a new direction, a change in eras, a change in consciousness. The new age is an age of enlightenment, greater enlightenment, where we begin to tap into the more sublime frequencies, because even the Western physicists know that everything is energy, everything is frequency, everything is in motion, everything is vibration, and that there's a whole vast spectrum beyond our five senses, beyond the range of not only our senses but of the machinery that can see it, beyond the electronic spectrum, the electroencephalographs and all of those things. Beyond that, they know it, they just can't tap into it because they tend to be strictly materialists. And so if they can't see it, hear it, touch it, smell it, taste it, and they don't have any machines or instruments that can grasp it or plot it, they tend to denigrate it. Whereas first world people, our ancestors, understood that the world we see is undergirded, penetrated, created, and sustained by energies, they call them spirits, intelligence, consciousness, that we cannot see. The good news is that as we move into these new ages, our consciousness and our awareness of this reality increases. And so we will see more and more manifestation of this awareness. But for our people, we have to get back, going back to what our African ancestors call Sankofa, to go back and fetch in order to go forward. The wisdom of the ancients, the understanding that even now Western cutting-edge scientists, thinkers, business people are now embracing what we said thousands and thousands of years ago, whether it's in the realm of metaphysics, business, whatever. And I say that strictly because the West tends to segregate, dichotomize, departmentalize, and isolate things as opposed to viewing them as a whole, as first world people do. So until they can get to that point, we have to go back and do what our ancestors did, which is look at the world as a unified field, not only just an energy and potential and possibilities, but in reality. That's why we need to be encouraging of people like Jake Prescott. And so as we close out, we encourage you to seek through prayer, meditation, introspection, and awareness of these sublime frequencies, because they will guide, direct, and energize us in ways far superior to the denser frequencies. They'll take us to heights of success, not just monetary success. I'm talking about success in our relationships, success in terms of health, in terms of life, vitalizing the life energy, the animating life force that's within us, that is the creator itself. And so I encourage you to tap into that and begin the process of transformation. Free your mind. The rest will follow. Engage in mental decolonization. Until next time, stay strong.
Cyberspace is a place that no army with artillery can invade.
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
that no corporation incorporates, no denomination, faith dominates, and no court is going to try it.